It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Let's get into it, Mfundisi. When we speak of spiritual warfare, what exactly are we talking about? These sound like nice, lofty spiritual concepts that don't have a substantive handle to them. So please, reduce them to substance for us lay people. What is spiritual warfare?
Spiritual warfare refers to this battle unseen to the carnal eye. Like if you open your eyes, you probably might not be seeing this battle that's happening, but it's a very real battle that Paul comes to talk to the Ephesians about, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood,
right?
But against powers and principalities in high places.
Mm.
So that's what spiritual warfare is about. It's again, spiritual, because we can't see it with our naked eye. And it's warfare because it's really a battle that's going on, that's raging.
Yeah. So perhaps I should ask it in this way. What is tangible? What do you experience when you're experiencing spiritual warfare?
Okay. I was laughing yesterday when you know, there was construction happening when we were supposed to have this discussion.
Right.
I laughed. I was like, this is a good example of what spiritual warfare might look like. It's when events are happening around you and you don't quite get it. It's when someone comes home and it was all good and dandy. You guys were laughing and talking, and then all of a sudden they're snapping at you.
Right.
And even they don't quite understand, why am I in this angry mood? It's when you have these unfortunate happenings around you that can't quite be explained by anything natural sometimes.
Right.
It's unlikely events that you, like with your natural evidence, you can't quite explain, this is why this happened this
right,
way.
Right.
It's things like that.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, for example. Mm-hmm. How does Ephesians 6:12 shape our perception of the battle against the devil and spiritual forces of evil?
So Ephesians basically just makes us aware that there's a war, that there's a battle that's raging in spheres that we can't quite see. So it says, for we wrestle not against schemings. We wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places.
Right.
Here's an example. Let me see. I'm trying to think of something. Okay. So here's an example. You are very, very okay, and then all of a sudden, you are overcome by grief.
Yeah.
And you can't quite explain where it's coming from.
Mm.
So the devil's activity shows up in a number of ways, but I'll address three right now. There's I'll use the word demonic to refer to the devil's activity. So there's demonic influence.
Okay.
There's demonic oppression.
Right.
And then there's demonic possession. So demonic influence is where you have a friend, you usually just talk and it's fine, and then all of a sudden there's lust that's entered this relationship.
Right.
And without proper control, you end up falling into sin.
Right.
Or it's where you usually drive just fine, but all of a sudden you're on the road and then you've got this terrible road rage. Mm. That's influence from the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And then oppression is where you were fine a few minutes ago, but then all of a sudden you're so down by this depression that you can't quite pin with your finger and be like, this is what's causing me to be this depressed. That's
right,
oppression.
Right. Give us biblical examples, Mfundisi, of Jesus, for example, experiencing spiritual warfare. And if there are any other Bible characters, share with us these Bible characters, how they experienced spiritual warfare.
So for Jesus, we have him in Matthew chapter 4.
Okay.
You know, when he encounters the enemy coming out of the wilderness, and the enemy is telling him, if you're really the Son of God, do this. If you do this, I will give you this.
Temptations.
You have moments like those.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
And which is great, because we're going to segue into talking about temptations after this, because those also show up as the devil's influence.
Right.
Because had Jesus given into the temptations, he would have given up so much of himself. He had given up entirely his power.
Right. So
you have Jesus.
Yeah. How did Jesus and any other figure approach, or how did they confront and overcome spiritual opposition?
So the other character I was going to mention is Paul.
Okay.
I think it's is it 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18. He's talking about, I would have wanted to be there with you, but the devil stopped me.
Okay.
Or the devil stopped us. That's warfare.
Okay.
Then you've got Daniel as well. The angel comes and says, hey, from the moment you said you were going to pray,
right,
an answer was sent, but I was withstood by the prince of Tyre. These characters come against this influence by scripture.
Okay.
And also by prayer.
I remember Jesus answering with verses, but did Daniel... or was the angel quoting scripture as well in the Daniel encounter?
So in the Daniel encounter, it was Daniel who was praying,
right,
for those 21 days, because the angel says, from the moment you purposed to pray,
right,
I was sent with an answer.
Yes.
Not from the moment you started to pray, from the moment you purposed to pray.
Okay.
But it was for the duration of 21 days, Daniel was praying.
Right.
And it was that prayer that just sort of came through for this intervention.
Right.
For help to come. So it's not explicitly mentioned that the angel prayed or anything like that, but we can infer because Daniel was praying for the entire 3 weeks.
So it was not Daniel who was experiencing spiritual warfare, it was the angel.
It was the angel.
Okay.
But also Daniel experiences it in that the answer delays a little bit. Sometimes you're praying and then the answer isn't coming.
Okay.
It might be that there's interference happening somewhere.
Yeah.
That you are not aware of with your naked eye.
Right.
So by extension, I guess, Daniel experiences the warfare.
So you're saying we should continue praying like Daniel continued to pray?
We should continue praying.
So Jesus,
if you've said that you're going to fast for 3 weeks, fast for the entire 3 weeks.
So Jesus rebuffed temptation by verses. Daniel,
yes,
did it by prayer.
Yes.
Okay. Then this concept, very lofty concept of putting on the whole armor of God.
Armor of God, yes.
What does that mean, really, Mfundisi?
So there's something that you encounter in scripture. The other time we were having a chat about scripture, and I was saying that we've got to know scripture like we know our name.
Right.
I was in my late teens, if not early 20s, when I learned that my birth name was not Andrew.
Okay.
I'm the only one of my siblings who has a name that sounds English, that comes off as English.
Right.
My parents wanted us to all have traditional names.
Right.
And I too was given one.
Yeah.
But because it wasn't the easiest for people to mention, they would call me Andrew.
Okay.
But my birth certificate, it's Nyang'olo.
Nyang'olo.
Yes. You can see, you get it right. But people over on this side,
okay.
They struggled with it, so they would say Nyang'olo.
Okay.
Right. So okay. They'd call me Andrew.
Okay.
And like I knew my name was Andrew all through growing up.
Right.
Nyang'olo would come up every now and then, but I thought it was just like another name they'd call me by.
Right.
Until I think I was 18 and I'd gotten my results from school.
Right.
And I'm getting to this because I want to say, like, no one could convince me my name was not Andrew.
Yeah.
So you've got to know these scriptures like you know your name.
Yeah.
That's what the armor of God is about.
Yeah.
So let me just run through them. You have the belt of truth. So if you know the truth, give an example. There's a gentleman who teaches me. He says a bee entered a car and the children in the back seat were panicking because the bee had entered. So the father grabs the bee. And the bee stings him on the hand.
Mm.
Then he releases the bee because the stinger is off. But the children are now still panicking.
Right.
Because the bee is there. It says, no, it won't do anything because the stinger is off.
I took the sting. Yeah. I like. Yeah, go ahead.
So the idea is the devil has been disarmed.
Okay. Okay.
That's the belt of truth. Like when you know the truth, it carries you a certain way. Then you've got the breastplate of righteousness, meaning if you get into a space and you're doing what is right, you have nothing to worry about.
Hey.
If you're living right, like that's the breastplate of righteousness. It covers your heart area.
John did the right thing and he had everything.
And he died.
He was, his head was taken off literally and served on a silver platter, Fundis. Aibu.
And I'll come and, because there's a text in Revelation 12.
Yeah.
And they did not love their lives unto death.
We...
because you see, Nai, one beautiful thing about scripture that I love is that death here is not the end of everything.
Right.
You know, when you're reading about God blocking the way to the tree of life with an angel.
Right.
It's grace. He wants us to be able to die so that he can save us eternally. Because if we had eaten of the tree of life, then would have been eternally sinful.
Right. Okay.
And then you can imagine having cancer for the rest of your life, your eternal life.
Yeah.
You can imagine suffering grief for the rest of your eternal life.
Right. Right.
You know. So he allows for death to happen so that he can save us eternally. So death here isn't the end of everything.
Right, right.
And so he looks at death very, very differently. So with John dying, it wasn't the end of everything.
Yeah.
He could die peacefully knowing there's, you mean, it's like Hebrews 11 that tells us they all died with a hope because they know there's coming a day.
Right.
That's glorious and all of this will be very different.
Yeah.
So okay. You have the belt of truth, righteousness, gospel of peace on the feet, the shield of faith, and then you've got the sword of the spirit. All of these are components of, let me just say, it's you knowing the truth about God that will help you to navigate life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about the scriptures now, which is a very, very... a tough topic for me. It's a very, I don't know about other people, but this concept of scripture is a very difficult concept. What are we talking about when we speak of scripture first and foremost? I ask this question because we tend to think it's the Bible, and yet the verse that says all scripture is God-breathed is not referring to the Bible because there was no Bible at the time when it was written.
Yeah.
It was referring to something else. And then when we're talking about the Bible, we're talking about an exclusive set of codices that were put together by somebody who probably didn't even read all scripture is God breathed.
All scripture.
Yeah. So I get the sense when we're talking about all scripture, we're not talking about the 66 books. We're talking about all scripture. But then again, I don't know. I'd like to hear from you. When we speak of scripture, what are we talking about? Are we talking about the 66? Are we talking about, what are we talking about?
You know, I wish you had played the disclaimer before we started. But I'm going to give you this thought, and I hope it sits well with the listener.
Right.
And when we're talking about scripture, we're talking about the revelation of God.
Right.
However he reveals himself.
Yeah.
The 66 give us a good guide to start on.
Okay.
Because Ellen White in Steps to Christ, the first chapter, very first line, it says, nature and revelation alike reveal to us the love of God. I think that's what she says, I paraphrase.
Okay.
But it means that God will communicate to you even in nature.
Okay.
He reveals himself even in nature. Even that is like scripture revelation, and it's valid.
Okay.
So when we're talking about scripture, For the listener who's maybe still a novice, we're talking about the 66.
Right.
But for somebody who's a little more experienced in relating with God, we know that we see God in many different places.
Right, right.
For me, it's music. I'm one of the worst people you watch a movie with because I see God in movies.
Okay, okay.
I'm like, did you see that? That's exactly what Jesus would do.
Right, right, right.
You know?
Okay.
And like for me, it clarifies certain concepts about God when I listen to music or when I watch a movie or when I'm reading something. And I'm like, wait, this is what God really means when he says this.
Right, right.
Yeah. But for the listener who's a novice, you know, Hebrews chapter 5 verse 12 says, by now you ought to be teachers, but you still need to be taught. You still need milk.
Right.
Right. So there's a listener who still needs milk. And for that listener, scripture, 66 books.
Okay. That's lovely.
But for that one who's a little more experienced, we know that we see God in many different places.
Ooh.
Like he reveals himself in many different places.
Okay. And now this concept of memorizing. Why do you think it's important to memorize scripture?
Because it comes in handy. And by memorizing, we're talking about the written word, the revealed written word, which is the 66 books.
Right.
It comes in handy when you need it. I'll share it's a personal story, and I know the other party would not be listening to Adventist World Radio at this time.
Okay.
But I was in a situation one time when I was younger, in a very sticky situation with someone in a room, we're making out and everything, just before fornication could happen.
Yes.
I don't even know where this strength came from. I stopped the entire activity.
Okay.
If you ask me now, it was a wonderful opportunity because she was a very hot girl on campus.
Yeah, yeah.
I would have loved to finish that whole thing.
Yeah.
But it was scripture that came to mind and reminded me, you can't be doing this right now.
Right.
And I stopped. I remember she was very angry and she was slapping me and everything because how do you get me to this place and not,
right,
you know.
Right.
But it was scripture that came to mind in that moment, this is why I struggle with people who say, no, there's places where the angels do not go, because how did I think of scripture in that moment?
Right, right.
And I remember stopping it and said, we can't do this, not here, not now.
Oof.
Like, if it was in a matrimonial bed, I would.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are you, I was beating myself. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Let's finish this.
Yeah.
But you see, when you memorize scripture, it comes in handy.
Okay.
In moments when you really need this to come through,
yeah,
when you need a decision to be made, when you've memorized scripture, it comes in handy.
Okay.
The Lord is able to remind you of, this is what the word says.
Yeah. And then let's talk about the process perhaps by which we memorize scripture, the Bible reading process, regular Bible reading and meditation, I suppose. How do those help, the regular Bible reading and the meditation? How do those help?
So meditation is basically referring to repetition.
Okay.
Right? Because when you dwell on something long enough, there's a repetition deepens impression.
Right.
So when you dwell on something long enough, it deepens that impression.
Right.
Where a lot of Christians fail is that we are trying to cover so much of the Bible in a short space of time.
Yeah.
You know, when the Bible quiz comes at the end of the, or at maybe mid-year,
yeah,
you want to be able to say, I've finished the entire Bible.
Right.
But how much of it do you remember?
Yes.
Right. So I say, take your time. Like, even if you're finishing the Bible by the time you're 60,
yeah,
it's fine as long as you have, like, it's sunk into your heart.
Right.
So meditate on a verse every day if you must, but just enough for you to get into your heart.
Yeah.
So read, meditate, dwell on the word until it's sunk into your heart.
Right.
Then you can move on to the next thing.
So I just received a text message from Avril. After you gave the answer, you said first, I wish there was a disclaimer, and then you gave us your... And then Mavro says, that needed a disclaimer indeed. Novices?
let me read something that I love it. I mentioned it. It's in Hebrews chapter 5.
Yeah.
You see, that's why I love that disclaimer of yours, Nai. I really, really love it. Hebrews chapter 5,
yes,
verse 12 to 14. The Bible says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers,
right,
you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God.
Oof.
And you have come to need milk, not solid food.
Yeah.
Verse 13, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness.
Yeah.
For he is a babe. Verse 14, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age.
Yeah.
That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
Yeah.
Because something starts happening when you start to practice,
right,
Christianity. When you start to practice the word.
Mm-hmm.
So there's those who are novices who know how to go to church every Sabbath.
Yeah.
And that's all they know.
Wow.
Come, visit them with a challenge,
yeah,
and they crumble.
Yeah.
They are the first ones to go see a witch doctor.
Yeah.
But then there are those ones who by reason of use, they have their senses sharpened.
Right.
Those are the ones that's why I differentiate between novices and people who are more practiced in their relationship with,
okay,
God.
Got it.
Yes.
Got loud mm-hmm. and clear. Perhaps that's where we should leave it. So I'm hoping Mavuru is happy with that. Thank you very much, Mavuru. I appreciate you compounding and putting it together all so well. Even though we missed out on yesterday, but you were able to weave it all together. Yesterday's lessons and today's lessons. We continue this conversation of our daily focus and this concept of resisting the devil. Mfundisi, maybe tomorrow when we begin, we'll talk about the concept of resisting the devil. He's all-powerful, supernatural, and the Bible says we can resist him. Maybe we should start there mm-hmm. tomorrow, Mfundisi. Tomorrow, let's begin right there. Sure. How does a natural being resist a supernatural being?
Supernatural being, yeah.
You. Mfundisi, thank you very much for your time. See you tomorrow.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. That's how we end our conversation with our Daily Focus pastor, who is Pastor Andrew Piri.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.